This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McCotter, a Republican representing the Great Lakes State's 11th Congressional District. He's also a member of the House Financial Services Committee and a member of the House Republican Leadership. We want to get his thoughts on the Cash for Clunkers program, which is very popular, but is frustrating some dealerships as they wait for the government money to come in. And we also want to get his reaction to some members of the Obama administration saying that they can't say that middle-class tax hikes are off the table when it comes to paying for a new health care system. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Cash for Clunkers is something that had been approved earlier. It seemed to be extremely popular. It was supposed to last until November on the first $1 billion allocated for it. It ran out of money in less than a week, according to the sales that were done. What do you make of the popularity, and how did you vote on the extension late last week?
Oh, I'm absolutely supportive of it. Obviously, coming from Detroit, this is a very helpful program, not only for our community, but for the country. What you're seeing is the glitch in the system was problematical. The response was to be expected. You saw people hunkering down, saving money, waiting to see if there'd be opportunities that would appear that would make them go out and spend money. And you saw an aging car fleet in people's hands. So when you combine those with an incentive to go out and purchase, one that both helps stimulate the economy and has environmental protections in it by improving gas mileage on the road, I think that people made a very rational decision to do it. The decision to go forward in the Congress was bipartisan. We had a meeting ahead of time, the Michigan delegation, with some key members from Ohio and Indiana. And you saw both parties' leadership consent to putting this on the unanimous consent calendar. And it passed the House overwhelmingly. And we'll see, we're hoping to have similar success in the Senate.
Well, as you mentioned, it did pass the House easily by about a 200-vote margin, I believe. There were about 100 or so that opposed it, including, I believe, mostly Republicans. Their basic complaint, Congressman, is that the government's spending a lot of money to help the auto industry, but that seems to be getting favorable treatment compared to other industries. How do you react to their criticism?
Well, I think they're making the mistake, the fact, number one, we took this out of the existing stimulus program. This was a new appropriation in addition to that. Secondly, selling cars, moving houses, these are things that help people and keep people employed. These are things that are going to help stimulate the economy. So I think that what they should be looking at is the success of getting people to come out and make the second largest consumer purchase they can make outside of a home. And rather than criticize a plan that has worked, they should continue to support trying to have this program be successful.
In terms of the dealerships and some of their frustrations, do you see that being ironed out, or is there a bureaucratic issue here that needs to be addressed pretty quickly?
Well, I think everyone understands that you have a problem with the system in terms of the database, in terms of the electronics of it. So I think the technology end of it is going to be taken care of. You have support. The administration is very aware of it. They're working on it. The delegations are very aware of it. So I think that it's just a question of you had a program that took off and you kind of overloaded the system.
Congressman, I know you were opposed to the stimulus package. Do you expect that more of the unspent money might be allocated in this direction if it stays as popular as it is?
Well, I think right now we have to focus on trying to make sure that the Senate passes the legislation in front of it now that we sent over on Friday. I know that from our Michigan perspective, Senators Levin and Stab and I are going to do everything they can to get it passed. They face a challenge, obviously, from some Republican senators and from some Democratic senators. The Democratic senators being concerned that they'd like to raise the miles per gallon on eligible vehicles to be a purchase under this program. But we're hoping that they focus on the success of what is there and decide that it's worthy of continuing because, again, it is stimulating the economy. It is stimulating purchases. It is helping right now when a lot of other things are not.
Logistically speaking, the Senate pretty much has to just say yes or no to the version you passed because with the House being on recess, there's not a lot of room to go to conference on this in the intervening time, is there?
Well, let the Senate deal with the Senate. I'm just hoping they do it.
Congressman, as you know, also over the weekend, some of the president's top economic advisors, including the Treasury Secretary, as well as advisors like Christina Romer and Larry Summers, refused to say that they would not consider raising taxes on the middle class to pay for the health care reform that they have planned and hope to have approved by you and your colleagues come this fall. What do you make of them backtracking a little bit from the promise that the middle class wouldn't see any tax increases like they said on the campaign trail?
Well, you start from the premise that 1% of America's, the upper 1% of American taxpayers pay 40.5% in taxes. So when you start talking about $1 trillion stimulus bill, $3.5 trillion budgets, when you start talking about appropriations of $500 billion or an omnibus bill, you're seeing an incredible amount of spending. So for anybody to be surprised that following such massive expenditures and some proposals for even more, that they're going to wind up having to tax the middle class, it shouldn't surprise anyone.
The president has said, though, that getting health care costs down is essential, and this reform is necessary to do that. He's also said that the economy was a little bit worse than they realized when first coming into office, so that this type of maneuver may end up being necessary. We have yet to see, of course. But
how does that become necessary to raise taxes when you said you wouldn't? How does it become necessary when you set up a government-run health care system on the side that you did not have to do, when you spent $1 trillion stimulus you did not have to do, when you passed a $3.5 trillion budget you did not have to do, and passed a cap and tax bill that will raise energy prices, which you did not have to do? This is a question of choices in governing, and I think that they should be willing to say that they have put forward these proposals to radically remake America's economy, and they stand by the consequences of them.
What's your sense of where the health care bill stands now? It seems like House Democrats believe they've got enough votes behind a particular plan to move it through, but you're there in the thick of it. What do you think?
That's up to the Democrats. The Democrats have decided to let three millionaires from California write the bill, and you're seeing opposition within their own party. Depending on how they want to do this and what the American public tells them over the break, then we'll see where we're at.
What are you hearing from your constituents? Do they want any part of this?
They want to make sure that something's done right. They want to see reform done that will be smart, that will wind up decreasing costs, increasing quality and choices, and not killing jobs. And they do not want to rush to judgment with something as important to them as their health care. And that's the number one fear they have. Remember, 80-some percent of the American people are quite happy with the health care they have, even though they could see cost increases slow down a little.
Congressman, let's close the conversation where we started, and that's with the auto industry. We just saw that Michigan's unemployment is now north of 15%. You told me last time we were together that you think it could go as bad as 20% when all these announced job losses are actually taking effect. Now that we see some revitalization in terms of auto sales, at least briefly, and we see Ford actually showing better sales numbers in July of 2009 than July of 2008, do you see some light at the end of the tunnel here?
We've always seen the light at the end of the tunnel, but we know it's going to be after a very hard road. Remember, the announced job losses were not in the auto companies were not contingent upon sales picking up. They were contingent upon the preordained bankruptcy process and radical restructuring that we're going to have to go through. I also point out that none of the supply chain that is related to those job losses has been dependent upon the sale of these cars, and the car dealerships that have been closed are not dependent upon the sale of these cars. What the cash for clunkers does is it helps to stimulate us in a period of getting through this transition, but it doesn't undo the damage or the radical restructuring that we're going to have to continue to experience.
Congressman, I know it's going to be a busy month for you back there in Michigan. We look forward to talking to you again very soon.
Thanks, Greg.
Absolutely. Michigan Congressman Thaddeus McConnor represents his state's 11th Congressional District, member of the House Financial Services Committee, member of the House Republican Leadership. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.